In verse 36, then the soldiers begin to mock him. Come on and say amen. And then in verse 37, let me skip down just a little bit. One of the malefactors that was with him in verse 39 and 40, the Bible said that the malefactor began to say, if you be the Son of God. So look at what happened here. Not only did the people begin to laugh and mock him, but the people who were doing it to him, they said, oh, now we're very empowered, so we need to mock him also. But then you had the people who were going through the same thing. Some of us, we got people going through the same stuff we're going through, but they want to talk about us so that nobody look at them. Y'all act like I ain't preaching this morning, but I know the Lord got a word here. We got people that's going through the same stuff we're going through, but they're talking about you so that people won't look at them. Let me back up. Let me slow down. So let's look at this. He says, now verse 36 says, and the soldiers mocked him and they gave him vinegar. They gave him vinegar to drink. And I wondered why vinegar. Why didn't they give him water? There's a reason. Because vinegar causes your vocal cords to constrict so that you can't really cry out. You ever drink vinegar and you say, it'll make you stop. They tried to give him vinegar to drink because they didn't want him talking while he was on the cross. They wanted him to say, you know, he'll soothe the pain. You don't have to cry out. They don't want to hear your voice. And sometimes the pain makes you cry out like you should. Amen. So what we go through, it makes us cry out to God. But look, they gave it to him to hush him up. And I want you to know that while you're on the cross, you can't afford to be quiet. While you're in your place of suffering, while you're being pinned down, come on and say amen. While they're mocking you, you can't afford to just say, you know what, I'm just going to be quiet and go hide. No, you can't hide. You can't hide. You need to go back and you need to let them see you being crucified, because one day they'll see you resurrected. They need to identify that you died. They need to identify that you went through the pain. They need to identify that and see it so that when you come back resurrected, they'll say, man, I thought they were done. And then you can say, no, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, y'all stop me because I can go on. Then the Bible says, let's go. Is it all right to preach like this? Yes. All y'all say yes. Yes. All right. In verse 37 said, and the saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. They said that. And you know.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to
worry. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
This wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text and tell of the truth that we're teaching to reach every hearer's heart. God, you know us. You know our circumstances. You know our crises. And God, we invite you to share with us, show to us how to be successful and victorious according to your word. And we'll be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 37, and I just want to lift out verse 1. Isaiah 37, verse 1. Recorded are these words. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. My brothers and sisters, I want us to look at how to handle crisis. Big or small, young or old, educated or ignorant, black or white, Jew or Gentile, no matter who you are, in this life you're going to have some crisis. And it's important for us to look in the Word of God and see that nobody, including Jesus Christ, was exempt from crises. As a matter of fact, I thank God for the crisis Jesus encountered, because as a result of that, the record is he has left me and you an example of how to deal with crises that come into our lives. Here is King Hezekiah, one of the best kings Israel has ever had. And when we look at how Hezekiah faced a great crisis in this verse, the Assyrian army threatened to attack Judah, and they had a vastly superior army than Judah had. And the strength compared to Judah's army was certainly unequaled. And our verse shares with us and speaks of Hezekiah encountering this crisis first in three manners. One, the informing of Hezekiah. Two, the inflicting of Hezekiah. And three, the inquiring of Hezekiah. And when we look at this word, it is important, because when we see how a king, the most elevated man in the land, had to deal with crises that came his way as a king, as a role model, as a leader, we will recognize that there is some helpful holy hints we can pick out of the text that would be helpful while we're dealing with our crisis. First of all, let's look at the informing of Hezekiah, because word says it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it. And the first thing I need you to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that crises come in many ways. But one of the things that particularly makes crises so difficult is especially when they hit you from the blind side. When like Job, one day you wake up and you're ambushed by the unexpected. You didn't quite really see the fullness of this impact coming. And so when you have to deal with it from someone bringing you the news, it just almost seems to unnerve you. It almost seems to unsettle you. Almost seemed to catch you off guard. You weren't prepared for that. Your mind wasn't wrapped around that. That was not a part of your thought processes for the day, and it hits you in such a way that it almost causes you to doubt whether or not you are who God says you are sometimes. And I don't care how strong you are in the Lord, there are some crises that will hit you and knock you to your feet. Yes, you're strong in the Lord. Yes, you love the Lord. Yes, the Lord is your friend. Yes, the Lord is your supreme being. Yes, the Lord is your helper. Yes, the Lord is your strength. Yes, the Lord is your strong tower. Yes, the Lord is your buckler. Yes, the Lord is your shield. But sometimes crisis can hit you in such a way that it almost causes you to wonder if it is you who's a part of dealing with this crisis. So the record says it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it. And may I just throw this out for your own pondering and just marinating on. The first few words of the text should be a helpful, holy hint to all of us that no matter whether the crisis is large, medium size, or small, let me tell you what the word says in the first few verses. And it came to pass. That ought to be shouting news for somebody going through right now. That ought to be shouting news for somebody who's getting ready to go through right now. That ought to be shouting news for somebody who just came through some stuff. And it came to pass. My goodness, when you get hooked up on the situation and you forget about the source, then 9 out of 10 times you also forget that it came to pass. Sometime when you get all involved and all clustered and frustrated and flustered about the situation and you forget that God didn't bring it here to stay, you will forget most times that it came. I know some of you have been going through some stuff for a long time, but this ought to encourage you that it came. Listen, and as soon as you learn the lesson, it's got to be on its way. It can't stay once school is out. Y'all will catch that on your way home. When you've learned all you can learn about it, it's time to move on. You've graduated from it, so get all you can get out of it and move on. Because it has come to pass. Now look at this word, because again, it was the informing of Hezekiah. Bad news came to Hezekiah. He was informed about the Assyrian army and the plans to attack Judah. Now Hezekiah is not alone in being informed about bad situation and bad news. Every one of us face this problem in life, and some of us deal with it in different ways. The unexpected loss of a loved one, the unexpected termination from a job, the unexpected bad news about situations that involve you or connected with you, the unexpected this or that. All of us receive bad news. But you've got to learn how to brace your news when somebody says, listen, I got something bad to tell you. First thing that ought to pop up in your mind is, what do the first few words say in the text? Before you ever hear what they say, hear what the Spirit of the Lord say. And it came to pass. Now what you got to say? It prepares you, fixes you, it supports you, sustains you. So no matter whatever they've got to tell you, here's what you've already got in place. And it came to pass. The only reason why I'm trying to tell you that is because some bad news is coming your way. I know you don't want to hear that part, but I want you to know, here is the good news. It came. It's coming to pass. And listen at this. You'd be amazed at how some folk like to tell you bad news. There are just some folk that get off on telling you. Want to see your response. If it don't look like it's affecting you bad enough, they try to make it a little worse. But that sure wasn't the response I was expecting. I just knew they were going to just drop down to the ground, and they try to make it bad and bad. But here's what you've got to know. The informant is not responsible for your response. The informant is just the mailman. The informant is just the deliverer of the news. You've got to understand that God has already prepared you for the news. And so when you know that, understand that, deal with that, you're able to brace yourself. In fact, hardly a day goes by that what we hear is not bad news. Matter of fact, so many of us have become so insensitive to bad news. We can hear bad news and it doesn't affect us anymore like it used to affect us. And it's not because we've learned this principle. It's because we have become so immune to receiving bad news, so much so that we respond badly to bad news. And God wants us to learn a lesson out of this, that we are who God says we are. Regardless of the crises, we're Christians.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think I'll say that again. Regardless of the crises, we're Christians. And nothing and nobody should change that. So regardless of the crises that we deal with, that we handle, that confronts us, what we must be clear about is who and whose we are. But not only is there the informing of Hezekiah, but there is the inflicting of Hezekiah, because the word says he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. And this action shows the sorrows of Hezekiah. Bad news brought great mourning to the king, and it shows that even the king, the highest of the potentates in the land, is not exempt from crises, from bad news, from trouble. And people showed they were in mourning in those days by tearing their clothes and then putting on their faith the ashes and putting on sackcloth. And it was an outward sign of a deep and sorrowful conviction underneath the clothes, underneath the skin, underneath the situation. And so he inflicted himself by showing the world that he was not above crisis. You know what gets me about some of us, talking about Christians now, is like we act like we're above crisis. If Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane and he wept so sorely and he was at the point of death and the pain was so burdensome upon him that it caused him to feel things in the flesh that all of us will at one time or another feel, then if Jesus dealt with that, how much more shall we deal with it? If he didn't put it off and act as if it didn't affect the flesh, if he didn't act as if he were above the sufferings in the flesh, then who are we to act like we can't deal with sorrows, with trials, with crises, and problems that affect our lives? As a matter of fact, we become superficial when we act like pain isn't pain. Pain is a part of the process. You're going to hurt sometime if you're a child of God. You're going to cry sometime if you're a child of God. You're going to go through some things if you're a child of God. But don't act like it's all good. No, it ain't all good, but all good will come from it if you know who you are. And so it makes the process, it makes the situation, the test, and all of that of non-effect if it doesn't do what it's designed to do, why God allows you to go through it. Amen. And so when you begin to realize that all of us have a point in our own lives where we have to deal with the bad news that hit us. But here's what you need to know. Even if it knocks you down and you have to stay down for a minute, everything on the inside of you is already planning its return. You may be down, but while you're down, you're getting your thoughts together for getting back up. You know, sometime in the morning when you wake up, you don't automatically get up. Sometime you got to meditate on what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how you're going to deal with it, how you're going to approach your situation. And sometime I've learned it's just good to have a plan, even if you have to get it while you're down. Because when you get up, first of all, the enemy wasn't expecting you to get back up. And so that's the first blow to the enemy. But you don't get up dazed and woozy. You get up with a resolve that I'm back, and I'm back with a vengeance. I'm going to show you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when you begin to recognize that, yes, tell your neighbor, it's all right to cry. But not as those without hope. It's all right to moan, but not moan as one who's so miserable as those who would never return. It's all right to deal with it in the flesh in an earthy manner, but never forget the godliness and the power of God that's on the inside of you. And when you do this, here's what you're going to learn. That when you get the bad news, and when you deal with the bad news, sometimes you don't have the answer within yourself and by yourself. Sometimes you got to have a little talk with God. Look at the third part, because here is the inquiring by Hezekiah, because the rest of the word says this, and went into the house of the Lord. Now listen at this, because this is another helpful holy hint to the believers whose lives are hit with crises. Don't stay there moan and groan, cry and complain. Leave the house of God and get into a funk or depression. You know, let the enemy keep dumping on you and breaking you down, making you feel worse. Listen, if you've got to mourn, go through your sackcloth and ashes. It's all right. There's a period for that. Don't be super spiritual and try and skip this period, because sometimes you got to go through this from the physical and natural standpoint before you can move on into the spiritual reality. Listen, after he did the physical part, he said, now it's time to move into the spiritual part. So he goes to the house of the Lord, because can I tell you, there are just some things you can't get at your house. I don't believe I got a witness here. There are just some things the Lord isn't going to tell you at your neighbor's house. There are just some things that he's not going to tell you at the doctor's office. And there are just some things he's not going to tell you taking a long drive in your car. There are just some things he's going to reveal to you, speak to you, unfold to you when you come to his house. That's why the devil don't want you, especially when you're going through something, to press your way and make it to the house of the Lord, because God has got a word for you. And one of the old believers used to say, is there a word from the Lord? Yeah, it's in his house. Come get his word, because he will encourage you. He will strengthen you. He will edify you. He will lift you up. He will bring you out of depression and oppression. Put a song in your mouth. He'll put joy in your heart. He'll put strength in your bones. He will show you that he's God all by himself. Came to the Lord's house. I've heard some people ask the question, or say rather, you don't ask the Lord why. And I got news for you. My question is, why not? I can still ask him why without fighting his program. I can still ask him why when I don't understand his program. I can ask him why, not in disobedience or disrespect to him. That's a part of my human nature. To ask why. But listen at this. What ought to be prepared for is the answer. Somebody didn't get that. Because if I'm asking him why, it automatically means it don't make sense to me. But then I got to remember his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not. And even after he gets through telling me what it is, I still might not understand it anyhow. But what I will know is that he has the best planned for me. And while I may not understand all of the workings now, I thank God for the songwriter who said, we'll understand it better by and by. That there are just some things God gives you in parts that are broken down in days that must be played out in a given situation, dispensation. And so even if he told you all about it right then, you still wouldn't understand it. Because there are some things you got to walk through. And listen, the more you walk through it, the deeper the understanding and revelation is. I mean, how many books have you picked up and read about certain things and you got all of the knowledge about the situation but still didn't have the full understanding? But when you walk through it, when you go through it, when you deal with it, God meets you on so many different levels. And this is what I love about it. Because I've shared this so many times, sometimes what you go through isn't just for you. He's preparing you to be a teacher. See, we don't stay students all our lives. At some point in time, he shows us enough, shares with us enough, so that we can teach others how to process through any given situation. And how do you not know that what you're going through, so deep, so powerful, so unusual, and so uncommon, is not the preparatory works of God to help you become a teacher, to teach someone else how to deal with their crisis? Here's what I've discovered. Whenever you go through something that blows your mind, that shakes your frame, that makes you question even your very essence, it is a good sign that God is teaching you to teach somebody else. Because what you miss is that in your circle of influence, in your concentric circle of contact, there are going to be others who will go through, who will deal with, who will experience or know others, that God will give you the benefit to help work through, walk through the process, because you've been there and done that. Yes. Crisis build character. Yes. In Christians. Yes. I say crises build character in Christians. Listen, because what you realize is God will never put more on you than you're able to bear. And secondly, you will recognize that if God is allowing you to go through it, then there must be a blessing and benefit for coming through it. And it is always, listen, to develop and define you and bring you to another place in Him. You can't ever expect to be all you're supposed to be and never go through anything. You know, it sounds good to be able to say I'm a Christian, but how do you know as it relates to your life's experience? How strong are you? You know, there are many ways to measure your strength. In the physical realm, you can measure your strength by how much you're able to lift, how much you're able to bench press, how much you're able to deal with in a physical sense. And so people know you're strong by those measurements. But in the spiritual realm, it is a little different, because what you're going to note is it really has nothing to do with your physique, your physical stamina. It really doesn't matter how tall you are, how muscular you are, how tiny you are in the spirit realm. There are some small physical folk who outweighs and can outlift and can outdeal with any of the things that come up against them than someone physically three times, four times, five times their size. Because it ain't got nothing to do with the physical. It's all about the spiritual maturity. It's about their ability to trust God. It's about their faith. It's about their experiences with God. It's about what God has taught them and shared with them. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Because you do know you've got some young old folk in the Lord. I mean, they will blow you.